morning. Welcome to Live Oak First Baptist Church.
Good morning.
It's nice to see that we're doing both of the ordinances this morning, baptism and the Lord's Supper, which is a very big day. If you will, go ahead and stand and join us. We're going to do opening. And can it be? Listen to me. I'm doing too many things at one time today. This is the day which most of you all know the words and everything, so you can stand and join us in the opening. And then if you want to have your fingers over to the first hymn, which is going to be Victory in Jesus on 426, my dyslexia wants to kick in today, you can do that. Please stand and join us, and this is the day.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Turn in your hymnal to 426, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary. About his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his God. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing.
so hug some necks, take some sands, and greet each other this morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Okay, this morning we pray for everybody in our congregation and those in special need of prayer for Nancy Cooper, Lester Cooper, Gary Taylor, Paul and Kathy Rigsby, Charles and Naismary Brantley, Freddie Simmons, Butch and Patty Thompson, Ollie and Ellen Evener, our church, Clyde Hetzer, Josie DeMott, our nation, world affairs, and those suffering from the effects of war. And we've added Melody Brown, who had surgery yesterday. Thank you, precious Lord, for the many, many blessings you have given us. Watch over all those who have been lifted up to you, Lord, and all others that we have missed, and those who have not been able to come here today for one reason or another. Be with us, guide us always, Lord. And we Thank you for the many, many blessings you have given us. And we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Creator, Lord, and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
As I reminded the choir this morning, I know it's a sad thing to think about, but the same people who were laying the palm branches down and their coats and worshiping Christ on this day, most of them, not all of them, crucified him 6 days later. The same people. Not different people. The same people. So it's just one of those things, the way crowds work. Crowds work. If you'll turn in your hymnal to hymn number 10, How Great Thou Art. It may not be that familiar, but the words are very, very powerful. Please stand for the offertory hymn 147, And Can It Be?
I would like to sing for you today a song that is especially appropriate for today, Palm Sunday.
Good morning. Good to see everybody. And good to be seen. Amen.
Amen.
I walked in the back just a minute ago, and Karen walked up to me, and she said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "I think so." And she said, "Then why are you breathing so hard?" So, well, let's see. You know, I walked down to... climbed into the baptistry, out of the baptistry, back to my office, forgot my keys, came back, got my keys, went back. I left off a dozen things, so we'll just go straight to the benediction and go home early. That seemed reasonable. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. This is Paul writing, or perhaps dictating, but this is from Paul. Regarding the Lord's Supper, he says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink the cup, ye proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, in the verses before that, what he talks about is the bread and talks about the Jews that Jesus used on that Last Supper before going to the cross. And then he sums it up with a bit of a benediction. That's in verse 26, where he says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup," that's what we're doing today, "you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So what is he talking about when he said, "when he comes"? Well, I don't want to take you all over the New Testament, but in John chapter 14, what does Jesus say? Now, don't go turning over there. You ought to know that one by memory. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, it's both fortunate and unfortunate that we can't put ourselves, time-wise and geographically-wise, where Paul is writing, to the environment that he's writing to, and the time at which he's writing. Because when Jesus said this, that "I'm going away," that was disturbing. They didn't want him to leave. Okay? And he said, it's, you know, words of confidence, he said, "But if I'm going away, I'm going to come again and gather you up and take you to where I am." Now, that's the thing that I think that today we have a little trouble getting a hold of. We are, how long from these words being written? 2,000 years? When was it written? Probably somewhere around A.D. 50 to 100, written in the first century. And when Jesus said, "I'm going away, but I'm going to come back," they were looking for him next week. You say, no, oh, quite certainly. That's the reason the most of the New Testament wasn't written until late in the first century, because there was no reason to write it down, because Jesus was coming again. Return in their mind, imminent. So Paul says this, that whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So I want to ask and answer this question this morning. What will his coming bring? We're celebrating the Lord's Supper, and we're ending it up thinking about this verse of Scripture. "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So what will his coming bring? And I'm not going to be a long time this morning, but let me give you three things that his coming will bring. Number one, it will bring evidence of our salvation or lack thereof. Evidence of our salvation or lack thereof. Now, what do we associate his second coming with? And this is, you know, we're in church. I'm looking for Sunday school answers. I really expect you not to know. First thing, it says the dead in Christ will rise first. So, you know, that's reassuring to the people in the New Testament that heard that, because they were afraid that he would come and get the believers and the ones that had died in the faith. would they be left behind? He said, no, they're not going to be left behind. They will be caught up, raised up from the grave. Now, I get asked questions every once in a while, you know, in terms of how God does this or how he does that, or you know, some such things like that, most of the time ridiculous questions that nobody has an answer to except the Lord, and I, you know, I haven't been in his presence yet. You with me? So people say, well, what about folks that were in the war? You know, my dad was a forward observer for the field artillery out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and they saw the enemy out there. They radioed back to the big guns, and they sent a shell, and a lot of those people were just obliterated. They were pulverized. What about them? What about those folks that were on ships that were sunk, that the sharks ate? What about those? You ready? I'm glad God put me in charge of sales. I don't have anything to do with, you know, with administration. That's all up to him. But the Bible says that the very hair of our heads are numbered. He knows where every hair is on everybody's head, where it's supposed to be, which direction it's supposed to curl or stay straight or whatever. If he says that when he comes, the dead in Christ will rise first, he has the responsibility to get all of those atoms, get all of those molecules, get all of those things together, get them up out of the sea, get them up out of the ashes, get them back together from the wars, get them up out of the graves that we're here, and get them started up. What's the next thing that it says? And we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up with them to meet him in the air. Now, you know, I hope you're not afraid of heights. He says he's coming in the clouds. He's coming with the shout of the archangel. The dead in Christ will be raised. Those which are alive shall be caught up to be with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Evidence of salvation. The second aspect of that, it's evidence of those that are left behind that will face the certainty of hell. Now, most folks with good sense believe in heaven. And folks without any sense don't believe in hell. They think God has a plan B. You know, some are going first class and others are going in coach. Wrong. There's only one plane, one class, going one place, and if you're not on it, hell is what is waiting you. You say, well, I don't like that. I don't believe God asks you to like it. I believe God asks you to do something about it before he comes, to give testimony like these did this morning in this baptistry, that they have died to the life of sin, that they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that they have given a new life and a new walk and a new heart and a new spirit, and they're heaven bound. Go ahead and clap. It's all right. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be among those that have never made their peace with God, that have never knelt at the cross, that have never confessed their sins, that have never asked Jesus in, that have chosen to live in their own unrighteousness, to serve their own God, to go their own way, and in the judgment when he comes, they're going to be left behind. It gives evidence of salvation or lack thereof. Second thing, it gives evidence of our failings under stewardship. Now, the Bible says that we that have died to sin, it's in the book of Romans, that we have died to sin. Therefore, we are buried with Christ, symbolic of death, buried with Christ, and raised to walk in the newness of life. Now, stay with me. When we ask Christ to come into our heart and save us, he washes us with the blood of Calvary's cross. Pure and white. How can you take something that stains like blood and get somebody clean in it when it goes, you know, again? I don't have anything to do with administration. I'm just in sales. And it says that our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. It's a distance you can't measure. Because if you take off going walking east, you know, you can't walk far enough east to find the west. Because if you're still walking in that direction, when you get all the way over here, you're still going east. You turn around and go west, you can't find that either. It's gone. It's obliterated. It is no more. Here's what we forget. The second half of that. Buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in the newness of life. We got a clean slate. You with me? Washed those sins away, gave us a clean slate, gave us a new life, indwelt us with the Holy Spirit, and he's checking up on our obedience. From that moment of being saved until we go to be with him, we are accountable for that life that we're living. Now, we're going to come up short of heaven? No. Come up short of grace? No. No. Not going to do it. We're going to come up short of the blessings that we could have received. You with me? Now, y'all wouldn't be upset if, you know, up here I confessed a little sin, would you? Would that bother you too much? You know. But I'm just going to hold up my hand and tell you that I got pulled over by the police. Right here. In this city. Going too fast in a school zone. Now, I haven't seen that school yet. But I'm not going to argue with the guy that had the blue lights on the top of his car, blue and red, whatever, telling me I was going too fast in that school zone. And then when he came up to my car, he uttered some precious words. I mean, just you cannot believe how comforting they were to my soul. They said, "Mr. Cooper, I'm just going to give you a warning." And, well, amen. Amen. I'll take those all day long. And then he said this, "You have an incredible driving record." Well, you know, he must not have been there the day I turned that Volkswagen over. Huh? Yeah, in the backyard of my dad's church, you know, in plain view from the parsonage where Miss Cooper was looking, who met me in the driveway when I drove that thing up and just said to me, you know, with that sweet, precious girl, with fire in her eyes, "Well, are you through playing, kid?" And I said, "I don't know. I need to think about it a little bit." But True story. I'll tell you the rest of it some other day, but not this morning. But whatever reward that I would have gotten for my driving skills, when I got pulled over in front of that schoolyard, wherever it was, like I said, I still haven't seen it, those blessings are gone. In the judgment, God looks at the life, and if where we should have been was here, my son, youngest son, wants me to stay away from the edge of this platform, but if this is where I'm supposed to be, and I'm walking over here where God wants me to be, but instead of walking there, I'm back here walking this, whatever blessings were there, I lost those. It's just the evidence of the reality of being there. We had a summer youth camp for our kids. Frank, I'm sure this never happened to you, kids. But my job was to put the camp to bed. You know, the ladies got up early, you know, and they fixed breakfast. But my job was to put the camp to bed. So we had the girls camp in one place and the boys camp in another place. And I walked up in the dark to the boys' side of the camp, and one of my troublemakers was there telling the rest of the boys the plans of how he had some M-80s, and in the middle of the night he was going to blow up a couple of those tents. And his tent mate happened to see me. And he was doing all he could just to keep from bursting out laughing, because he knew this guy was just talking himself in the hole he wasn't going to be able to get out of. Evidence of our failure at stewardship with the resources God has blessed us with. Third thing, eternal rest in the Lord's eternal home for us. Evidence of that. I don't think there was any one subject in the Bible that Dad liked to preach about and talk about more than heaven. And he was good at it. You know, Dad wore, and he'd talk about it, he wore a number 10D shoe. That's what he wore. And I've seen him, he'd get over to the side and he'd say, "Well, I want to tell you, one of these days I'm going to take this number 10D shoe and I'm going to sit it down on streets of gold." Yeah, come on now. Walk through gates of pearl. Stand inside walls of jasper that are 16 feet tall. And walk up to my mansion with my name on it, paid for in the blood of Calvary. Hallelujah, I will be at my place of eternal rest. It'll also reveal those that are going to wind up in hell. Now, I think there was a gospel song written. There wasn't a lot of gospel in it, but I think there was, you know, sung in church that said, "I'll meet you at the great white throne." And the Bible talks about that. The great white throne judgment. Well, if you're expecting to see me there, you're going to be disappointed, because I'm not. The great white throne judgment is the judgment of the lost. There's a stewardship judgment where we as believers give account for our life from the time that we are saved to we are ushered into the presence of God. And there is a second resurrection and a second judgment where the lost are gathered by God Almighty to the great white throne, where they're judged for their sins and cast in the everlasting darkness in the pits of hell. Read this again, you know. "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Miss Cooper is sitting back there, you know, really struggling to get here today, but y'all keep praying and she'll get well. She can't find her way anywhere. Nowhere. You know, you leave Atlanta, you go to Montgomery, there you go to Mobile, there you go to Baton Rouge, you know, and on, you get here. So we're leaving, it's the umpteenth time we've come, and I said, what city's next? I don't know. I have no idea. But you know what she says about me? She said, leave it to you, wherever we're going, whatever we're doing, it makes no difference. You're going to get lost in the darkest, most dangerous slums you've ever seen. Huh? Well, I finally get there. I mean, you know, we go the scenic route or anything. If you don't have a roadmap that takes you by the cross of Calvary to the streets of gold in glory, you're going to wind up in hell. You need to face that. And if you say, well, I don't like that. I don't like that kind of preaching. That don't make me happy. Well, maybe, brother, today be a good day for you to get saved. To come by the way of the cross. To give your heart to Jesus. To rejoice with others that partake in the Lord's Supper and celebrate the fact that they have a home in glory. Deacons, come on, let's do this Lord's Supper before I really preach into the afternoon. We now come to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper given to us to celebrate in memory of his broken body and shed blood. It is said that on the night before he was betrayed, at the conclusion of the feast of the Passover, which he and his disciples were celebrating, he took bread and having blessed it, broke it, and gave to his disciples and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Father, as we bow in thy presence today, we do so to give you thanksgiving for laying down your life for our sins, that we might be saved and know the forgiveness of sin, know the indwelling presence of thy Holy Spirit, and have a home waiting for us in heaven and glory, prepared for you, for those that bow, confess, and receive you as Savior. It's our prayer in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, he that eateth this bread shall live forever. On that same night, our Lord took the cup, and having blessed it, gave to his disciples and said, "This is my blood, which was shed for you." Richard, would you lead us in prayer, please? I'm sorry. Donnie, would you lead us in prayer? I'm sorry. And according to the law, I may almost say all things are cleansed with blood. And apart from shedding of blood, there is no remission. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. All right. I don't see baskets here to collect the cups, and that's all right. So I want the deacons to take each one, take a tray, and wander through the building and collect the cups, and then come back down here to me, please. If y'all would stand to the side so I can talk to the congregation. We've already announced that on the 29th, which is today, that having heard our prospective pastor-elect candidate, that this is the day that we would vote on them. We heard them preach last Sunday. They've been here on Wednesday night to answer questions. He and his wife have appeared with the deacons and their wives for a time of questioning. And he is the person that is recommended by the deacons to fulfill that position. The pastor-elect, he would be my replacement when I retire at the end of November. Actually, at the end of December, but I'm going to take the whole month of December as vacation. So, this first election is for a 90-day trial period. If you get two-thirds vote, then he will begin serving the 1st of May with me and sharing some of the responsibilities. And maybe I won't be huffing and puffing running around these hallways anymore. It's just, you know, it's the reality. It's just where we all wind up. I said to Richard the other day, I come up every Sunday, he's out blowing the leaves off, and his face is red. It wasn't red 4 years ago. That's just how it is. That's good, and we appreciate your ministry. So these are the ballots, and the deacons are going to pass them out. And right here in the center, at the bottom, it says yes or no. If you just check that or circle one, yes means you want Brother Anthony to be the pastor-elect, and no means you do not. Okay? Any questions? Then let me pray. Father, lead us with thy Holy Spirit, and let us vote in the way that you're telling our hearts to vote, to either call Brother Anthony or to continue looking, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. You'll give these to the deacons to pass out, and then once you've filled it out, pass it to the center of the aisle. Don't fold it up. Just put it down. It takes less time. Would the members of the church, this includes these people who were baptized today, would you stand, please? Once you get it, you can sit down and fill it out. But everyone that wanted a ballot, did you get one? Okay, collect them, deacons, please.
That's fine.
Okay, stand over to the side so I can see the congregation, please. Is there anyone that has a ballot that has not been collected? We good? All right. If you'd take these with the deacons and go count them, and I'll make the, when you get the results, bring it to me on the Welcome Center, and I'll announce the results. Okay? Let's stand for the benediction. Father in heaven, we thank thee for a great day, for a great church, for great people. We thank you for the way thy Holy Spirit has moved through this day from the time the sun came up to even right now. We give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Ollie. If what?
I was doing 65 in the morning.
Oh. No. I hear you.
Have you met him? Anthony Owen and stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, okay.